Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slidekick.
Yarr!
Today is June 12th, 2016, and this is episode 111, E3 2016, Day Zero. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
We are going to dive right in here this week, but first we have two quick notes. The first you can file under hashtag corrections. We mixed up our Shanes in our last episode.
With producer Shane?
Oh, man, that's another Shane. Holy moly. No, we referred to Shane Bettenhausen as the man behind Sifted. That's actually Shane Satterfield, who actually has a very similar pedigree, worked at GameSpot, Tech TV, G4, Game Trailers, among others. So either way, though, we wanted to write the record, and thank you to Ryan from the Nintendo Fun Club podcast for catching that.
Well, a rose by any other Shane would... No, that doesn't really work here.
You tried. The second, and I apologize if we're a little low energy today, you know, there was a tragedy in the world today, and we are dedicating this episode to all of our fallen brothers and sisters in Orlando, where there was a massacre, a gun massacre, a mass shooting, as they say, at a gay club late last night. It's kind of left most of the sort of attentive queer world a little bit shaken. This afternoon, you know, there was, in fact, a very suspect individual trying to bring explosives to one of the Pride celebrations in Southern California. So it's been a very stressful day for many of us, including Slidekick and I. So we dedicate this episode to all of the people who lost their lives. Our hearts and thoughts go out to those you leave behind. I truly hope you're in a better place now, because this is some straight up fucking bullshit. So without further ado, let's dive into some E3 news. We're going to do what we normally do here before we talk about today's events. We're going to talk about some of the E3 news that has been floating around this week. Slaggy, you want to get us started?
Yeah, starting off, we have Nintendo and their National Street Pass Week. It has officially begun. It will run until June 19th. And you basically just have to go and bring your 3DS to a Nintendo zone, and you'll be able to get street passes from anyone, well, not anyone, but, you know, from various people across North America who have visited the Nintendo zone. And I believe that you can get, like, special Reggie Mii's. I saw Dark Sakura from OLR had a Reggie Mii visit her 3DS, so, you know, all types of cool things going on at the Nintendo Zone, I mean, I suppose. But, you know, there is also a Miiverse community, Nintendo at E3, where they will be, you know, allowing you on Miiverse to talk about the various E3 happenings from Nintendo.
Awesome. We also have word official today that the new Omega Force Musou game published by Koei Tecmo is going to be based on the well-loved anime and manga series Berserk.
Oh, wow. We should do Berserk Buoy over on AnimeBuoy.org.
On AnimeBuoy.org. Yes, we should. Berserk, you know, it's really great. It's super dark, super violent, but I think it's, like, really complex. It has a really cool lore and mythology. Anyway, the game will be launching on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, PlayStation Vita, and PC, and there will be more details coming on June 23rd, so please look forward to it.
So after a string of very fakeries on the internet in terms of Pokemon leaks, we finally have some official new information on Pokemon Sun and Moon, thanks to Korokoro, of course. And this is in the form of two new Pokemon. There's Nekoala, who is the half-awake Pokemon, and appropriately looks like a koala hugging like a little log thing.
Nekoala is so cute.
Apparently, it will have an ability called Definite Sleep, which prevents it from being afflicted with any status besides sleep. That's pretty crazy.
Wow.
It is a normal type. And then the second reveal was a very cute doggo, a little pupper named Iwanko, a rock-type Pokemon. And this is actually the Pokemon that you kind of got a preview of from the back in the one of the original reveal trailers. So that's very exciting and very cute. And you know, I'm looking forward to more. You know, we also got a little bit of a preview of the upcoming movie. You can apparently get a Magearna with a Pokemon Galay disc. It will have a QR code. And you will, in at least Japan, get a Greninja. Probably, I don't think it has to do with the movie, but there was a Pokemon election, and Greninja won.
Excellent. Yeah, that's, they were voting for, like, Japan's favorite Pokemon or whatever, and Greninja took it. We also got word that Pokemon Sun and Moon will have a gimmick allowing you to scan Pokemon from QR codes. So that's definitely something to be very excited about moving forward. It's going to, you know, to me, it's always really interesting when they introduce new ways to sort of do promo Pokemon. And in fact, it looks like this issue of Korokoro actually has a code for a Pikachu. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, it's something to keep in mind when Sun and Moon comes out.
I was about to be November. Like, oh, I'm so glad you read Japanese, but literally looking at the scan again, there's a Pikachu next to a QR code. So I'm like, oh, I guess I could have figured that out.
We also have word here that the Jax Pacific World of Nintendo toy line will be getting a new figure exclusive to Spencer's Gifts.
Which you probably are most familiar with if you go shopping for things with marijuana leaves on them or
in
for,
the shape of penises.
Yeah, for like bachelorette parties.
Indeed. This is the Shadow Link figure, and while we make a lot of jokes, it's actually a really cool figure. They did some really nice silver detailing. It's actually really cool looking.
Yeah, we might have to go to Spencer's on June 20th.
Yeah, it's supposed to be in stores on June 20th.
And we can also get some penis straws.
We also have word here, courtesy of Andrew House, the president and CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment, who told the Financial Times that a high-end PS4 with 4K support is coming, but that it won't be revealed at E3 this year. This, of course, is the PS4 Neo, or the PS4K, that we've all been talking about for months and months. We do now have it on the record. This is a real thing, officially. But at least ahead of E3, they're saying it won't be making a showing. If we see it pop up tomorrow or not, who knows? Lord knows this wouldn't be the first time an exec has lied about what they're going to be showing. But at least for now,
I bet there'll be some like very obvious nod to it, but like it won't actually be discussed or revealed.
Yeah, pretty much kind of what I'm expecting.
So Atlus has announced that they're going to be having a special E3 Nico Nico livestream called Uncover the Phantom Thieves. This is going to be a Persona 5 stream, of course. It'll be airing on June 15th, 2016 at 9 p.m. Japanese Standard Time, which is 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern, or 12 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. So I guess that would be the same day? Like, I don't know how international dateline works. I'm really bad with geography. Is that still the 15th for us? Is it earlier? Or I guess, yeah, it would be later there. It wouldn't be the next day. It would still be that day. No, I'm serious.
So we also have word here of Destiny Rise of Iron. This is the official trailer and announcement. The game will be focusing on the Russian area of the Earth planet. We'll have a new raid, new strikes, new public events, new bosses, new enemies, new story, new missions and quest lines, and the return of the Iron Gjallarhorn. Except this time it will be launching in a, no pun intended, in a new black version for pre-orders. The game is coming out September 20th, 2016, and really cool, the galley that's going to be coming, the cool black version. Getting the pre-order code is actually good for a quest that will give it to you. You still don't just get it free. Like, you got to
do
it.
Did you call it a galley?
Yeah.
Like as a cute nickname?
Yeah.
Is that what the Destiny fandom calls it?
I mean, I don't know if that's how they pronounce it, but I've definitely seen it called like Gjally. I've just always read it as galley.
Oh, wow. That's adorable.
The Destiny fandom is awesome.
The fact that you were like the Russia area of the Earth planet would have sounded very weird, except in the context of Destiny, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, no. So, if you play Destiny, that probably wasn't quite as weird as it sounded.
Right. So Sonic is making an appearance in LEGO Dimensions.
What?
It'll probably be the best Sonic game in a while.
Rude.
What? Rise of Lyric?
Okay, so basically what happened is we've gotten the announcement from LEGO about the sets that are going to be in LEGO Dimensions, like Season 2 or whatever. And it's a pretty wild list. So we have Sonic the Hedgehog, Slaggy covered that. We also have Teen Titans Go, The A-Team, Adventure Time, Beetlejuice, E.T. the Extraterrestrial, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Harry Potter, Ghostbusters, The Goonies, Gremlins.
Goonies are good enough.
Knight Rider, The Lego Batman Movie, Lego City Undercover, Mission Impossible, and The Powerpuff Girls.
Wait, there was a Lego Batman movie?
There will be. It's coming, and it's meant to be like very comedic and satirical.
Wait, is it like the same Batman from Lego Batman from the Lego Movie?
I think it might be.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Either way, the trailer for it I saw looked really quite funny. In any event, basically
there is a Lego dimension for everybody.
Right.
Like I'm about to Wingardium Leviosa or something.
Accio?
Yes, Accio Harry Potter Lego Dimension set.
I hate myself for you making me make that reference. So, we also have word here that Final Fantasy XV will be getting an E3 2016 Day Zero Edition Active Time Report on June 13th. That's tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Pacific. I don't anticipate that we will be talking about that in tomorrow's episode of GameBuie.org.
GameBuie.org.
But we will definitely be talking about whatever they discuss when we do our wrap-up for the week toward the end of the week. You might have noticed we're not going to be doing a episode on Nintendo Day, and that's because we've already done Zelda Buie.
That's true. Injustice 2 was announced. I don't really know how to pussyfoot around that. Warner Brothers and DC announced Injustice 2 for Xbox One and PS4 coming sometime in 2017. There's a pretty cool announced trailer, and there's going to be some sort of, I don't want to call it a gimmick, but change or new features of Injustice 2 involve kind of like upgrading your hero or something. I'm not too familiar with Injustice TBH, but that was what I've gathered from the information here.
Yeah, it looks really good. We did have a small gameplay trailer. It looks like kind of more of the same, but not in a bad way.
Yeah.
The DC comics right now are sort of hitting like a high mark again. So
are they?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The current story Rebirth is super good. So
they'll just screw it up again in like a couple months, so
probably. Until comics. Then, though, we also have Watch Dogs 2, which has gotten its official announcement, as well as a trailer, gameplay footage. Looks pretty good. I'm really happy. Main character is a person of color. Going to be hitting November 15th, 2016 for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Visually, it looks really good. Takes place in San Francisco. Obviously,
yep,
I'm here
yep.
for that. I'm really excited. It has like some cool stuff where like you're actually going to be able to like do stuff with in-game with like 3D printed items and weaponry, and so there will be like schematics to find for a crafting system. I'm kind of into that. So
that's awesome.
So I'm stoked.
I've seen a lot of negative reactions to this, but I did also see that you'll be able to pet dogs, which has caused some people to rename it Pet Dogs 2.
Hey, I'm down for that, except maybe it should be Pet Dogs 1, because you could not pet dogs in Watch Dogs.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Maybe Sleepy Dogs.
Oh.
Too many dogs.
Too many dogs. Too many dogs. So Square Enix Montreal is going to be following up Lara Croft Go and Hitman Go with Deus Ex Go.
Exciting. You know, I'm a big fan of Lara Croft Go and Hitman Go. I think they're both fantastic games. I don't quite see how Deus Ex Go is going to work, but I'm eager to see them try.
According to the article from Silicon Era, players follow Adam Jensen as he uses augmentations and hacking to complete puzzles and defeat in a turn-based fashion. That's how it's written. It sounds a little off, but
yeah, I think they missed the word enemies after defeat there. But anyways, I obviously knew all that. It's if you played the Go games, you'd understand what I mean, but I take it you haven't.
I have not, but I better go check them out.
Well done. We also finally have an update on the last year announced Final Fantasy Type-0 Online. We hadn't heard much about it since last September, but we finally got an update that it's going to be beginning an open beta test in China this month. And after that, Square Enix is planning to launch in Japan, North America, and Europe. So, you know, please keep listening for more information on that. We'll bring it to you as we get it.
So, good news for Final Fantasy XIV players in North America. If you were looking forward to the 7-Eleven items that Japanese players got from Japanese 7-Elevens, which included, like, a Maid and Butler outfit, I think there's, like, a mask of some type, and, there's two masks. A Titan-themed mask, an Ifrit-themed mask, and a set of 99 magicked prism wings. You'll be able to get that, strangely enough, from Amazon with a purchase of $19.99 or more from June 14th through June 27th. And I guess it says a qualifying purchase. So, I mean, I guess that means, like, if it's, you know, ships from Amazon.com and it's not fulfilled by Amazon. So yeah.
Yeah, I would have to assume it's only going to be on, like, purchased from Amazon.
Right, but I mean, you could literally be like, I'm going to order some Swiffer Wetjet refills from Amazon for $19.99.
Gosh darn it. You know, I just bought a game off Amazon today. I should have waited 2 days. 2 days. Son of a gun. And our last piece of news here, one that I'm incredibly excited about, is that we finally got more gameplay footage of Bloodstained. Igarashi-san also announced that Bloodstained will have a playable demo at E3 2016.
Jealous.
And even bigger news, they're going to be releasing the playable demo to people who backed the project, all people who backed the project, at $60 plus tiers.
That's great.
So if you back the game at a high enough tier to, like, get a copy of the game, you're going to be getting a playable demo. It'll redeem on Steam regardless of what platform you chose the game on, and you'll get to play out a level. I'm really excited about that. You know, there are going to be a handful of demons. You're going to get a feel for sort of like the physics and how magi crystals and shards work. You know, it's really exciting stuff to me. I am shocked by how quickly and how well Bloodstained is coming together.
Unlike some other Kickstarter games we know.
Yeah. But it just, you know, it's really coming together quite beautifully. It looks like it plays exactly right. And very soon we're going to have a little bit of it in our hot little hands. So, you know, please look forward to that.
Oh, I can't wait. It looks so good.
Right. So, Slaggy, let's dive into the E3 EA presser.
Do we have to?
Right?
But Mother, I don't want to.
You know, and here's the thing, all of you out there, lovely, beautiful people listening at home, this is going to go a lot faster than these discussions have in previous years for today only, because EA's press event was lackluster. I'm just going to say it there. I'm just going to get it out.
Yeah, I feel bad. Remember on our pre-3 episode, I was like, Ubisoft just needs to, like, not exist. I feel really bad for Ubi now. Although maybe I should just hold my judgment until tomorrow. But yeah, EA, more like EH.
Yeah. They just really did not impress me a whole lot. And we will talk about what they discussed, but just, it has to be said, this was not a great press event. I actually, honestly, in hindsight, was like feeling like, man, I wish I had done something else with my day to some degree.
Yeah, they had this whole gimmick about, you know, we talked about this when they had announced their EA Play plan. You know, they had an event going on simultaneously in London, as well as the one that was, I figured the main one was LA, but I mean, I guess in London, they probably figured that the main one was London, so, you know, they kind of switched back and forth, but it's like, they're like, oh, never done before. I'm like,
bitch, a lot of us have used Skype before, calm down. So, let's see, so, let's start with the biggest, coolest news to me was the announcement of the EA's most recent indie initiative, and, you know, I say that because they basically roll out a new indie initiative every couple of years. There was like EA Partners. That's the only one I'm remembering by name, but the new one is EA Originals. They're basically going in, helping fund money for indie, or not indie, but, you know, like smaller tier games, helping get publishing set up, and just taking a small amount of money and letting most of the proceeds go to the indie devs, which is a great thing.
Yeah.
And this initiative is going to be starting. The first game that'll be making it to market is called Fe. And, you know, it's funny because I sort of summed up my overall response to EA's presser as like, feh, but not as a result of
the game. I think they
actually
were saying it fee.
Well, one of them said it fee, but I could have swore someone called it feh. Maybe that was just me, like, imagining what I expected. The game itself actually looks really cool. It's a non-verbal game, 3D exploration-based. You have, like, very minor, like, abilities to communicate via, like, doing little songs and dances as a little cute critter. To me, it was actually absolutely, like, Shades of Journey for the PlayStation 4 and 3.
I was just
going to
say, I'm like,
this
game exists. It's called Journey, and it's beautiful.
Right? So, either way, I mean, honestly, a Journey clone is at least something I am guaranteed to play. The game world looked really good. There was some really cool looking, like, flying stuff going on, so I was into that too.
Yeah, you're like this cute little critter, and it's like, at least what they showed us right now, like, the world is like purpley and like
snowy,
kind of minimalist color.
Yeah, like a very strong focus on atmosphere. And in fact, you know, this is an adventure game being developed by Swedish developer Zoink.
Zoink!
And during their segment on the press event, they actually referred to the atmosphere of the game and the environment repeatedly. That's very clearly like a strong part of their concept. And, you know, I support that. I think it's going to be a really cool game. I almost wish it had been held back for like one of the bigger conferences because it's, I think, being forgotten a little bit in how
like,
unenthused
like even,
people were for the rest of EA's event.
Even when they, you know, like on, for example, the PlayStation Nation focuses on, hey, we're going to let our indies come up and talk a little bit. And you
yeah,
never know. Maybe
absolutely.
Maybe Fe will show up.
So we also have here, let's see, Mass Effect Andromeda. So this was a little
bit kind of
a poop show because we didn't really get a whole lot. We got like a little bit of theoretical in-game footage, a couple of like renders and
like
art assets.
I almost called it Liara, but you know,
an Asari. It was basically the same style of presentation we got last year about Andromeda, which was a few quick cuts of theoretical game footage and then just a lot of behind-the-scenes footage of people being excited about Mass Effect. And it's like, I'm excited about Mass Effect 2.
We'll be telling you more in the fall.
Yeah, right? They were like, oh, this is as much as you can see until fall. And it's like, dude, I get it, but we've been waiting a long time for this. Like, give us a little more. Come on now. Let's see. We also got a look at what's going on with EA's new Star Wars games.
Yeah, Jade Raymond came out and talked a little bit and then showed a video. So,
yeah, yeah.
That was pretty cool.
We got confirmation, of course, on the upcoming Star Wars game that's being made by Respawn. We got about 6 seconds of theoretical in-game footage of the upcoming Star Wars by Visceral game. And we also got word of Star Wars Battlefront, the sequel to Star Wars Battlefront, that is, that's being handled by DICE and Motive. So that's cool, although as far as I know, Battlefront, like the current Battlefront, isn't even done on its run of DLC for people with the season passes, so it's hard for me to get too enthused about that.
Yeah, especially with the kerfuffle about the first Battlefront.
Indeed. After that, we got a focus on Titanfall 2. Very exciting stuff, you know. We got confirmation that it will have a single-player campaign, which I know is something a lot of people were hoping for. We're going to have an increased focus on sort of what Titan-to-Titan combat looks like. We're going to have new models of Titans, like 6, I think they said. So that's really exciting stuff. The on-foot gameplay is going to have, like, a grappling hook mechanic so that you have even more traversal options. It will be releasing on PlayStation 4, PC, and Xbox One on October 28th. I think it's going to be a grand slam. It's just a little bit hard for me to get super excited about this or about Battlefield 1, which was one of the other big games they talked about today. Just the focus on guns is somewhat unsavory for me today.
Yeah.
I did still think Titanfall 2 looks great, and when it comes out, I'll definitely pick it up. But today, it's just a little hard. Battlefield 1, you know, they really emphasized the different sort of economies of scale that you will be encountering as you play, which I think is a really cool idea and design concept.
Did you catch when they were like, you can pilot a behemoth? I'm like, that's called a blimp or a zeppelin.
Shady.
You can pilot a behemoth.
Oh, man. But I do like that. You know, you can pilot a horse. You can pilot a tank.
You can pilot a horse.
You can pilot a behemoth. You can pilot a biplane.
You can pilot a horse.
This sort of different senses of scale in Battlefront or Battlefield 1. Again, it's just really hard for me today to throw myself behind it.
Captain Spike, you can pilot a horse?
I refer to piloting things that way literally all the time. How many times have you heard me talk about, oh, you pilot that car pretty well?
Never, because
okay,
it's
well,
me.
I say that to Amanda all the time. Like, that's a phrase I use all the time. Anyway,
well,
the last game that they talked about, and they didn't talk about it last chronologically, but it's the last one we're going to talk about, was FIFA 17. Now, you know, they spent too much time for me talking about FIFA. Also Madden, they did talk about Madden. They talked about both of these games for me a little too much. But I will say the new FIFA has a story mode called The Journey.
Someone on Kotaku did a Photoshop. I mean, it wasn't much. I mean, but they put a soccer ball on a screenshot of Journey. And it's amazing. I'd probably rather play a Journey soccer game or football game than FIFA The Journey. But, I mean, I guess the idea of a story mode in a sports game, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's actually really cool. It seems like a really fully featured, in-depth, like, deep story.
Yeah,
so
I mean, they brought out, like, a presumably, like, a university student who gave this whole monologue as the character, the main character from the FIFA 17 single-player campaign. So
yeah, it was really exciting. One of the commenters on Kotaku, though, pointed something out kind of sad, which is that FIFA 17 showed more story than Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, pretty sad. And it actually, for me, sort of put into perspective why I was so disappointed with EA's showing this year. I'm going to give my rating of the EA event before I sum up my final thoughts on it. Then you can have the opportunity, Slaggy. And I'm going first so you don't steal mine. And that, I would give EA a solid D. And they're only getting
Ooh,
a
you're
D.
giving EA the D? Ooh,
they're getting
girl.
A D. Only, the only reason they're not getting an F is because, like, I guess they tried. And Fee looks pretty good. But overall, I was incredibly disappointed. And I felt like there were better ways I could have spent my afternoon, frankly. What about you, Slaggy? What did you think?
I would give them like a C minus. Like, they had, it's not that the games they talked about were like necessarily dull, and I mean, considering that, you know, the FIFA thing was kind of interesting, and it wasn't just like, oh, we're gonna bring out soccer football legend, and no offense to that guy, who, you know, I'm sure is a football legend that they had the other year, but like, I mean, still, like, I feel like if I was comparing this to, like, you know, I was grading a high school student's essay, like, the ideas were there, but it wasn't fleshed out. And I think that they were trying way too much to be concise, and it did not help them at all. It did them a really great disservice.
Yeah.
There was no substance.
Well, and my problem is you have things like they talked about Knights of the Old Republic briefly, but, like, did they actually talk about new content for it, or did they just talk about it existing?
They're like, it's the Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, right? Like, they talked about it, and they referred to, like, oh, yeah, new stuff someday, maybe. But, like, nothing, I don't think they talked about anything particularly serious, or, like, gave us dates for the next expansion or anything, or what the next expansion will be. Like, there was a lot they could have done that they didn't do. I found it very disappointing. Oh, but they did tell us that the next Battlefront will have content from the new movies. So, hey, cool.
Yeah.
New. I guess if you bought the old Battlefront expecting new content from the movies that were coming out at the time it came out, that was unreasonable of you. Who knew?
Yeah, I mean, the EA Play events had
that game.
The EA Play events apparently had, like, kiosks set up in their respective forums, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, venues. But, you know, for those of us playing the at-home version of E3, you know, it was just very, very, very lacking.
Yeah, well, let's move on to greener pastures and talk about Bethesda. And I have to say, you know, if I seem more enthusiastic about Bethesda, it's as surprising to me as it does to you. But they had games to show. They had new announcements. They had games I hadn't seen before that I didn't already know about. I came out, like, knowing more about these games.
And the games that they had last year that they revisited in more detail this year, like, actually, like, it was valuable.
Yeah, it wasn't just showing us the same trailer, hitting the same notes. In fact, they started off with a new game announcement.
Oh, can I just stop really quick and talk about how when they were showing Battlefield 1, like, speaking of showing the same trailer, they literally, EA literally started playing, like, a part of a Battlefield 1 trailer, and they're like, we'll show you the rest of that in a little bit, and then they, like, played the same trailer, but then it was, like, the extended version. It's like, you could have just played it with the one.
With a cutaway to Jamie Foxx and Zac Efron to find out if they were excited to watch the trailer, to which they both seemed, like, I don't know, stoned or something, and they're just like,
Oh, so my favorite part of the EA conference was Zac Efron.
Yeah, I mean, he looking fine. Like, he looking like a little daddy, I guess. Little daddy's pizza. So, anyway.
Bethesda!
And they started off, they opened right out of the gate with a new Quake game.
Yeah.
This one is called Quake Champions, and in case you couldn't guess by that name, it is going to be a hero shooter set in the Quake world. I have to be honest, I'm actually kind of into this. I saw a lot of references to it being basically like Quake Watch, and I'm okay with that. You know, I know that
use the watch
people...
suffix like Overwatch.
Exactly so. I know a lot of people, for them, you know, like the big Quake experience is like Quake 1 and 2 and having like a single player campaign and the Nine Inch Nails music. But like, for me, Quake is Quake 3 Arena, and this looks like the 2016 version of that. So I'm really stoked. I can't wait to play it. And I love that they opened up with a new game.
Yes.
We right now only have a CGI, like, cinematic trailer, but we will be getting hard gameplay information at QuakeCon in August. Please look forward to it.
So then they showed some Elder Scrolls Legends, which is the strategy card game. It's like Elder
they announced
Hearthstone,
it last year, in fact.
Elder Hearthstone Heroes of Tamriel, I guess, if you want to compare it to a Blizzard property. But I mean, it looks all right. I mean, if you're interested, you can sign up for beta on the game's website.
Yeah, you can go over to Bethesda.com or net or whatever.
Legends.bethesda.net.
There it is. And if you go to Bethesda.net, it will get you there.
Don't put .org at the end. That's just a Game Boy thing.
So we also have word here of new Fallout 4 DLC. And, you know, this was also exciting because there were three really cool Fallout DLCs announced, and none of them I had any idea about. One of them is the Vault Tech expansion, which will actually allow you to set up your own vault and then run it in the Fallout 4 game in full 3D and everything, but like in the style of the
Fallout Shelter
game for smartphones. So that looks really awesome. You get to like do experiments on your vault dwellers and send them on quests and stuff. It looks really cool. You get to use the same interface and style that you used to build your encampment. You'll get to use that to like actually go into your shelter and like build it. It just looks really cool. There's also going to be the Contraptions DLC, which is going to let you build like Rube Goldberg machines and like new like powered devices and automated weaponry and stuff. It looks really
cool,
really experimental and fun.
Yeah, it's basically further allowing you to live out your post-apocalyptic steampunk fantasy.
Yeah, well, exactly.
And who doesn't
want to
do that?
Exactly that. And then the last one is the Nuka-Cola World DLC.
It's so cute.
And it will actually allow you to build a post-apocalyptic theme park. And that's like pretty much everything anyone has ever wanted, right? It's like half Fallout, half like
Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Like, who isn't here for that? So I was honestly like right out of the gate, like, dude, these are three awesome packs. I have seen people on Twitter talk about how some of these things were things that you could already do in game via like mods or whatever. And I sort of get the feeling that these are mods that Bethesda bought and are like sort of polishing up. But, you know, honestly, I'm okay with that. I think that's a great use of the community. And I think that it gives all of us a better play experience, which is ideal, frankly.
Yeah. Then a bombshell got dropped. Not the one that I was expecting, but one that I'm sure made a lot of people happy when it was revealed, and that is that we are going to be getting the Elder Scrolls V Skyrim Special Edition, which basically is a remaster for PS4, Xbox One, and PC, which, you know, it's already on PC, but I believe that Steam will be automatically upgrading if you have, like, the deluxe version or whatever
version. If you own either the Legendary Collection of Skyrim or the base version and all the DLC, you will get the Special Edition upgrade for free.
That's awesome. It looks really pretty.
So something really cool about it is that the Special Edition will allow the installation of mods on the console versions, and also there's like a ton of visual upgrades at play here. The entire game world looks so much nicer in the Special Edition. So I think it's really cool that Bethesda's doing that. I know that a lot of people are really invested in the world of Skyrim, and I think this is going to be a great reason to go back and revisit that world. We also had another new game, and this is sort of the revival of an older game, but you know, we've sort of had hints and teases for a while that the studio Arcane Austin has been sort of taking over the Prey 2 project, that it was completely overhauled, that it's completely different now. And that was basically confirmed. We got a new cinematic trailer for Prey, just called Prey. It is apparently not a sequel. It's not a remake. It is sort of a reimagining of the concept of Prey. It's going to be out next year for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. And the trailer was fantastic. It managed to be like sci-fi horror, thriller, just really, I thought, a really cool trailer. It had me totally intrigued. I really want to know what's going on in this game. I can't wait to play it.
Yeah, I am not familiar with the original Prey, like, aside from just knowing that it exists. A lot of people are saying it does not seem anything like the original Prey, but, I mean, it looks very interesting.
Yeah, and you know,
Rob Roberts on Orange Lounge Radio. Not on Orange Lounge Radio, but
Of Orange Lounge Radio.
Said that he thought it was just going to be called Good Morning Morgan. And I think it should, if that was the case, it would be called Guten Morgen.
Guten Morgen, Morgan. So, we also have word here that Fallout 4 and Doom will both be coming to VR, the full versions of the game, in 2017.
Yep, that's for the HTC Vive.
And, you know, that's actually a big deal because the HTC Vive is a competitor product to the Oculus Rift. And Bethesda and the Rift folks have a much publicized feud that, as far as I know, is still working its way through the court system because motions have been filed. Obviously,
would you say they're going through the motions?
We also have word of the One Tamriel initiative in The Elder Scrolls Online. This is a new game system that is going to introduce worldwide level scaling throughout the entire game.
Yeah, you know, that makes me want to be a young woman in the crowd yelling like Xena the Warrior Princess. She was the true star of the Bethesda conference tonight.
Yeah, there was one woman in attendance at the event that was just doing the most amazing screams and shrieks. It was quite celebratory and quite delightful, truly. Either way, the One Tamriel system will make it so that players can travel the entire world without restriction once they exit out of the tutorial, and player levels will scale to any area they're in throughout the entire game. So honestly, to me, that's actually going sort of further in the direction of what the actual Elder Scrolls games have been like recently.
Yeah.
I think that's a really bold choice for an MMO, and it's one that I really hope pays off.
Yeah, you know, Final Fantasy XIV's had a little bit of, you know, where you can get leveled down
level
to
sync and stuff.
Level sync, and the upcoming World of Warcraft Legion expansion will kind of allow you to, you know, do a zone with your friends because, like, the mobs will scale. So I just think anything, I mean, this is definitely a lot more
robust.
Ambitious and robust, but, you know, I think anything that, you know, lessens that barrier of, I want to play with my friends because it's an MMO, you know, that's great.
I
don't
know
totally if I will
agree.
Personally be, I mean, it is free to play, though, so, you know, maybe I'll check it out.
Cool. All right. And last but certainly not least, we also got a huge chunk of Dishonored, both cinematics and gameplay footage.
Dishonored 2.
I'm sorry. Oh, I just said Dishonored. Dishonored 2. And I thought it looked absolutely fantastic. I'm totally stoked to play Dishonored 2. The first game was fantastic, had a lot of really cool emergent gameplay stuff, a lot of environmental interactivity. It was sort of from a gameplay perspective, the game that I think the BioShock guys have been trying to make for the last 10 years. So I was really feeling it. I was super into it, and I can't wait for the full game to come out. What about you, Slaggy?
I think it looks really good. I mean, this is a game that maybe previously had not been on my radar, but now definitely is.
Awesome.
And not just because Corvo is a hot, scruffy daddy as fuck. I mean, actually, I thought the sequences where they showed Emily, who is the female playable character, I was like, yeah, that looks badass. And I mean, it definitely appeals to, you know, the things I like from, you know, Assassin's Creed sorts of games and BioShock sorts of games. So, I mean, like, I went from, like, you know, oh yeah, that game they showed last year that looked pretty cool, to being like, yeah, this is one that I probably need to pick up. And if you pick it up via pre-order, you will get the remastered, which I don't remember the actual title of that.
I think it's just Dishonored Definitive Edition
for PS4, right?
PS4 and Xbox One.
Oh, cool. I wasn't sure if the deal was just for PS4.
It's for both.
Well, wonderful. So I'm probably going to be doing that.
Dishonored 2 will be out November 11th. All right, that about does it for the Bethesda press event. Since I went first for EA, I'll let you go first. What is your rating and final thought?
I'm going to give it a solid A. You know, even if these aren't particularly games that I'm going to play, I feel like Bethesda did that last year, too. You know, Bethesda games are typically ones that I have not played in the past. I may not play all of the ones now, but, you know, just the fact that they presented it. Plus, I have to point out that all of the presenters or the speakers at this conference wore rainbow lapel pins to, you know, honor and remember the victims of the tragedy we had mentioned. So I just thought that was a very tasteful way to, you know, to show their support.
Yeah, you know, coming off of EA's presser that was full of guns and violence, and they didn't make any mention of today's event or last night's events, and I don't expect them to.
And to be fair, there was violence in Bethesda. I mean, they showed some Doom, like hell stuff. So,
but you know what's funny is that something like the new Quake game that is all people shooting each other, I might not have felt as positive about that if not for the fact that, you know, literally every person that Bethesda had on stage had a rainbow ribbon on their lapel. They were showing real support in even just this quiet way, letting us right. know that, like, we stand with you. That's a powerful statement.
I thought it was very classy.
It's a valuable statement. It was a very classy statement. And for me, it really elevated what probably would have been like a B+ to like an A- for me. Like, I really,
right.
It really felt like, even though some of these games maybe weren't what I'm all about, there was such a real respect for the audience, not even just in terms of the rainbow lapels, of course, but overall, there was just such a respect for the audience that it was really hard for me not to be really excited.
Yeah, a lot of these pressers are very like, PlayStation Nation, what's up? You know,
yeah,
it's like
this
just
was
very like playing into that, like, gamers are hype. Like, even with EA Play, it was like, play to rebel, play to be extreme, play.
Like, it's 2016, who even says extreme anymore? EA, I guess, is the answer. You know, when we were plotting out this episode, we also thought we would have a press event by Kadokawa Games to discuss. But unfortunately, that event, while it is actually currently ongoing as we record this, is not being live streamed. So we will probably have information on that tomorrow evening when we come back to you with news from Microsoft, the PC gaming show, Ubisoft, and Sony.
Yep.
The one piece of news we have gotten out of the Kadokawa event so far, and I don't have anything for in the way of a link for the show roll, so I apologize. I just saw it via a tweet from an attendee who was at the event, and that is that Demon Gaze 2 will be releasing in Japan on October 13th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, Demon Gaze was a lot of fun. I'm really excited to see what a further iteration of that game will be like. Slaggy, do we have any social links this week?
We do.
All right. Why don't you lay those on me?
So I'm going to start with, I'm going to go a little out of order today to first talk about an E3 reaction from your Enzyme, specifically reacting to the EA presser, saying the lack of real Mass Effect news was very disappointing, but what they showed looked great, but they're saving tons for N7 Day. Like, I mean, I guess honestly, seeing what EA Play was like, can you really blame them for not, you know, wanting to, like, carry that show?
Right. I mean, when you put it that way, I wouldn't have wanted that seat.
Yeah. So now, using that time turner a little bit to be a Hermione Granger.
Excuse me, hashtag keep the secrets.
I'm like, that was book three. Get with it.
LOL.
So we, back at the end of May, had a tweet from your Enzyme to the E3 2016 experience, PlayStation E3 2016 experience that they do in the theaters, saying these have been fun the past 2 years. Yeah, we had gone, not last year, but the year prior.
Yeah, we went to the first one.
And it was a lot of fun, and I bet last year would have been so hype, but, you know...
We sort of decided that since, you know, E3 happens during the work week, if we're going to get these episodes recorded and turned around same night as these events are happening, take an hour and a half train to the biggest city around that is actually screening that, it's just not, it doesn't make sense
for
us. Yeah,
that was rough that first year, but we do it for you.
Yeah, we love our lovely and beautiful listeners.
Your Enzyme, I'm only laughing because I remember reading this tweet when we got it. Says, listening to the SNK episode with my dog in the car, and the squeak at the end made her jump out of her seat.
Oh, sorry, girl.
And I had said, oh gosh, is she okay? And Your Enzyme said, LOL, just startled. So, careful with those squeaky squeaks.
Sorry.
Brondorf chiming in about our SNK episode, saying, the recent SNK-focused episode of GameBuie.org got me to go back to King of Fighters 13, and yeah, this game rules. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. And similarly, we have a tweet from ActDeft saying, since I don't have anything to do at work, I'm catching up with GameBuie.org. Like the E3 episode now, hashtag SNKBuie. I love that our listeners refer to episodes as blank buoy now, even if they aren't officially titled that.
Well, you do it enough. I can't. Of course
you
they do.
You do it enough, too.
Probably.
We also have another tweet from your Enzyme. Holy crap, Oxenfree was so good.
Right?
My game of the year. That soundtrack is superb.
Yeah, Oxenfree is everything.
It's a true work of art.
Seriously.
We also have another tweet similarly related from your Enzyme. Actually, a continuation. Driving around for work, listening to the awesome Oxenfree music soundtrack. I'm sorry, I added the word music in there. Listening to the awesome Oxenfree soundtrack and wanting a game music buoy.
Yeah, we've had requests for that. I think it's inevitable it's going to happen.
I think it's going to end up like a NPR sort of thing. We're going to have to talk in very serious voices. And
always do, so it won't be
that
weird.
You are our very best NPR.
All right, keep going. We really need to wrap this up.
And that's it.
All right, well, this is going to be a little awkward because we're going to sign off right now. We are not going to do our usual slate of shout-outs. We are going to do
our
normal
solicitations. We've been playing Blizzard games. Like,
but we have another episode coming tomorrow. This episode and that episode will be smushed together if you're listening on VogNetwork.com.
VogNetwork.com.
So, you know, please, I guess, look forward to us talking again in 30 seconds if you're listening on VOG. Otherwise, we'll have another episode posted around this time tomorrow. So please look forward to it. Solicitation, Slaggy?
We love your feedback. We love your subscriptions, ratings, and reviews from iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher Radio. We like your Facebook likes. We effing love Twitter.
We effing love Twitter.
You can email us at mailbuie@gamebuie.org.
Mailbuie@gamebuie.org.
And visit us at gamebuie.org.
Gamebuie.org.
As well as, you mentioned, on VOG Network, where you can catch us on Tuesdays, where our episodes debut first.
Excellent. Very, very good. Well,
you're
except
probably
for
hearing
today.
This. Well, because, yeah, except for today.
Yeah, this episode, we're going to hope to have live pretty quick.
Yes.
All right. Well, with all that having been said, thank you so much for listening today. We'll be back at you tomorrow. But until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
I was going to say keep gaming, keep thinking, but there's probably not a lot of time for that.
Yeah, and plus, you know, today, it just felt right.
Right. And I would say, like, see you in 30 seconds, but if people are listening tonight, they're going to see us, like, in 12 hours or, you know, whatever the delay is between the two episodes.
Okay, I'm stopping recording now. All right, mics are hot.
Hot mics. Get your hot mics.